Hey ECHL fans, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Step into the action with ECHL Ice Level, your front row seat to all things ECHL. Experience the thrill of the game through player interviews and insider updates on the league. Hello everyone and welcome back. My name is Amanda Arrowsmith.
And I'm Joe Babick, and we are your ECHL Ice Level hosts.
We'll be dropping a new episode every week throughout the season on Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Can expect to hear from players, coaches, and staff within the league.
Don't miss our first two episodes. You can go back and listen to those. We had Brad Ralph, the head coach of the Florida Everblades, on our first episode. Last week in episode two, we were joined by Toledo's Brandon Hawkins, the reigning ECHL scoring leader and most valuable player. And now this week, as we lead into the start of the season tomorrow night, hard to believe, but we have ECHL Commissioner Ryan Creelan joining us to kind of look ahead and see what's ahead in store for the 37th season of the ECHL, which begins tomorrow night.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to ECHL Ice Level. Today, we're joined by the one, the only, Commissioner Ryan Creelan. Hey, Ryan, what's up?
A lot. Lots on the go.
Yeah, definitely a busy time. The 24-25 season, the 37th in ECHL history, starts tomorrow. But the important question before we get started, how do you balance the start of the season with watching the Mets in the NLCS?
Work till game time, then we'll watch the game pretty intently, and then pick up where we left off after the ninth inning's over.
Funny enough, Ryan took off his Mets hat before this.
Yeah, I don't want to jinxes or anything of that nature.
Hey, that's fair. So going into the season, we have two new teams, obviously Bloomington and Tahoe. So Bloomington is a market that has had hockey before, but entering ECHL for the first time ever. And it's obviously a good fit with the Central Division geographic-wise and experience ownership with the Hallett Group. So how do you think Bloomington is going to do? What should we be looking for with the new ownership, and just what are you most excited to see from them?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, it has had professional hockey before that wasn't able to succeed. However, because of the ownership group and the Hallett's and Larry McQuarrie's leadership and what they've been able to do in Indy for the past 10 years, I'm extremely confident of what they're able to do in Bloomington. Starting when Sean Hallett, Jim Hallett's son, went out there and began the process with the local government, the mayor, to secure the lease and really look at it from a long-term positioning standard to say that, hey, we're going to put a team here for the long haul. And then, as you mentioned, geographically, it is a perfect fit for our Central Division, a nice connector out to Iowa. So that'll be pretty good. And with all the stuff that they've been doing here the past few months to ramp up, they've got a pretty strong season ticket base. When I was there for the announcement on a Wednesday morning, there was more people than I would ever imagine out there to help welcome the team. And so I think they are going to start off here on the right foot, and I'll be out there for opening night on the 19th.
Moving out west to Tahoe, good to see another team out west joining Utah, Rapid City, and Idaho. Tim Tebow being involved in the ownership there. New building, hockey, professional hockey, at least new to that area. So a lot of excitement out there as well. What are you looking for from the Night Monsters?
Well, again, we've been looking for western expansion for a long time, looking for, I suppose, some rivals out in the west for Utah and Idaho. So it creates a nice little triangle there. It is a unique market. It's a small market in kind of up the mountain there in Tahoe. However, the building is adequately sized for that marketplace, and the excitement I think has been through the roof. I think they had roughly 1500 people on site for the launch of the name, and then to go along with the affiliation so that all of the Golden Knights affiliates are now in Nevada. Pretty cool setup to see NHL, AHL, ECHL in a state that quite honestly a few years ago may not have had any hockey. So to see that come to fruition is pretty cool, and I think we dropped the puck there on the 24th. So I should be there as well. I got to make sure I got all my flights and
You'll get there at some point regardless. But jumping back what to Joe mentioned about the ownership with Tim Tebow, we also see professional athlete ownership with Miles Jack from the Allen Americans and some other part owners coming from the Zoyer Group. So how do you think that this background of retired or still active professional athletes, not necessarily in hockey, but things like football and baseball, are able to help grow the ECHL as a league, and also just general ownership? How does that work out with them bringing more audience?
Yeah, I mean, I think it certainly helps. First off, from a player perspective, they bring their background at the professional level, no matter what sport it is, into the boardroom to help educate those folks, and I think ultimately heighten our game. And certainly some of the more high profile individuals help raise awareness for the ECHL and the league in general, or their specific team. I hope to see Tim wearing some Night Monsters gear on TV. And I think in general, you're just starting to see more athletes want to get into the business, which is fantastic for us. And even you guys may know it, but there's a number of former MLB, NFL players, even current NFL players that own minority shares in ECHL clubs. So they may not be the figurehead or announces the controlling interest, but there's a lot of professional athletes that are getting into sport ownership.
And along that same vein, a lot of interest in ECHL ownership, 5 new teams here in the last few years with these two, and up to 29 teams. How close do you think we are to getting to the 32 teams to match both the NHL and the AHL?
Yeah, I would say very close. By the time this airs, I believe we'll be on the precipice of announcing number 30. And a few more months, I think we can get to 31. And once you get to that level, 32 is right behind. So we're well on our way. You know, it does take time, but been really fascinated with the growth of the league the past few years. And I do think folks see a real benefit to align professional hockey in North America with NHL, AHL, ECHL. And the goal is 32, 32, 32.
Yeah, I think we'll get there. So on the same lines of NHL, AHL affiliation, what have been some of the main reasons for this improved relationship that we've seen over the past few years? And what do you think that will be able to blossom into here in the future?
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It is a relationship, and you've got to earn trust in the growth of the league. I think the improvement of the on-ice product from an ECHL perspective, we've shown that we can really develop players both at the goaltender position and at the player position. And that has led to more NHL, AHL contracts being assigned to our league than ever before. And I would also say because of that, not only are more players advancing to the NHL than ever before, also coaches, equipment managers, trainers who understand our league, what you know, what the league meant to them, and they can help tell the story at those higher levels.
And delving off of that, telling the story of the ECHL, we recently saw ECHL Unfiltered, the docuseries featuring the Idaho Steelheads, which aired on NHL Network, can be seen on Flow Hockey. How did that production all come about, and how important was that to get the not just the Steelheads, but the ECHL name out there to that wide audience?
Yeah, so I have to give credit to Game Above Entertainment and production group there with Caleb and Tyler. They did a fantastic job, and I think captured hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of footage to ultimately build that end product and edit it down. They traveled with the team. They were with them every step of the way along not only the regular season, but into the playoffs. They also did a fantastic job traveling to Mr. Kelly and Bill Coffey to learn more about the league, to help highlight us. And, you know, I guess, edit it down into consumable content, but I thought pretty compelling content to help tell the story of what the ECHL is all about and to follow a team in the Steelhead. So hopefully we can do more of that in the future. Great to see the NHL Network pick that up and help distribute it. And maybe some folks who didn't know much about the ECHL really got to see what we're about. Yeah, so we're still waiting to get feedback here from the first series, the 5-episode series. But if there's a possibility, we're going to at least take a look at it because I think there are some teams that would like to be featured in it. And again, if we can make everything work out, we're going to do it.
Wait, frankly, I can't imagine a team that wouldn't want to be involved in it, just from a viewer's standpoint. But leading into that, ECHL Unfiltered obviously is now still running through NHL Network, but also on Flow Hockey. So in terms of Flow, HL is now under the same house here for streaming with us. How do you think that is going to strengthen our relationship individually with the AHL? And then also, just how do you think both leagues are going to be able to benefit from this?
Yeah, I mean, I would say we already have a strong relationship with the AHL, but the fact that we're on the same platform, I think, allows both our fan bases. And listen, there was a lot of crossover before, but I think there's going to be more crossover now than ever because hockey fans have one location to tune in, one subscription price, and they get not every ECHL game, but every AHL game. As well, I believe that the SPHL, maybe the USHL, and some other leagues as well. So if you're a fan of hockey, you've got to have a Flow Sports subscription because that's where you go to see all of hockey's development. And, I think it's been something that's kind of been a goal to get there, and finally it came to fruition. So looking forward to it.
Looking at the ice, you know, the Florida Everblades have won 3 consecutive Kelly Cups. No team's ever been able to win 3 straight championships before. What do you think it says about, you know, their organization, their will to win, with all the roster turnover year over year in the ECHL, to just have that strong core, but also being able to not only defend their title once, but now twice and have 3 straight titles?
Yeah, listen, it doesn't matter what league you're in. The ability to win 3 years in a row is absolutely amazing. And it's not like we're a 6-team league, right? We're a 28, 29-team league. So to be able to accomplish that is no small feat by any stretch of the means. And listen, last year being the example, Florida just as easily could have missed the playoffs. And they really, I think, have a very strong culture. I think an excellent coaching staff, and they're able to get the most out of their players. And even though perhaps they may not be the most skilled team or the fast team on the ice, they are the best team year in and year out the past 3 years. And that's what's been able to allow them to win 3 years in a row.
Coming back to the league standpoint for a bit, with all of our office staff here, you've worn a lot of different hats throughout your years, not to age you at all, but how do you say you've been able to grow personally, but also professionally within all these different roles and having to juggle so much?
Yeah, well, I think I would be the first to tell you, like, I'm not one to shy away from something other than maybe social media. I've kind of kept my distance.
That is okay.
Never afraid to learn and jump into something and try and figure it out, even though at the start may not know what I'm doing. And kind of had that mindset since I graduated college, and been fortunate enough to get opportunities here and hold different positions, and I guess ultimately up to the commissioner position. But you know, on a day in, day out basis, I'm happy to do whatever it takes to help advance the league and grow the league.
Hard to believe, but this is your 7th season, going into your 7th season as a commissioner. Obviously, COVID probably is the biggest thing that's come out of that. But other than that, what have been a few of your enduring highlights during that tenure? And what do you want to see in the next few years of your reign as commissioner?
Oh, boy. It's all a blur, Joe. I don't really remember. I mean, as difficult as COVID was, the ability to work through that as a team and a group, and not to say that our boardroom agreed on everything, but we really banded together and did what it took at the time. And most of that was digital and through Zoom, but we worked together through our processes to be the first professional hockey league to return to play. We were able to pull that season off, albeit with only 14 teams, because a lot of jurisdictions wouldn't let us. But the fact that we were able to do it, I think, speaks volumes and was quite an accomplishment. Personally, getting into EA Sports to highlight the ECHL on that platform was something that I'll always remember. Although we don't have the program anymore, the Blue Posts for Geico, we had that arrangement for 7 years, and I believe we were the first league to do it. And although I may have caused some headaches to some hockey folks, I'm proud that we were able to pull that one off as well. And then the growth of the league. I've been around long enough. I can remember when we were at 19 teams. And so to see us grow to 30 and hopefully upwards, I think is pretty impressive.
So we've had a few new additions to the physical office here in New Jersey, whether it be hockey ops, media, and administration. Do you foresee with the expansion of the league itself and more teams that we'll be adding more staff on our end here in the future, or what do you think that'll turn into?
Yeah, I mean, as we've grown as a league, there's more teams to service and more things to get done in our professional growth off the ice as well as on the ice. And so we've been able to add a few new full-time folks, some part-time folks as well. But as we grow, I can envision those turning into full-time positions. No different than any other business or any league. As you grow, you've got to have the personnel to support it.
And as we start to wrap up here, as we said, the 37th season getting underway this weekend, what are you looking forward to this season? No All-Star game, obviously, but we'll have the Hockey Heritage coming up in Kalamazoo in January for the second time. Anything else you're personally looking forward to for this season?
Well, again, I think we've touched on it, but announcements for the growth of the league continues to be a highlight. Hockey Heritage, we haven't done one, I guess, in 9 years now, and it's a rivalry game, and the ability to wrap all the festivities that we normally bring to All-Star with Hockey Hall of Fame, Stanley Cup, Fan Fest, our Hall of Fame induction. So always look forward to that event, and I can assure you this game will not be 19-12 like our All-Star game was. So hopefully a few less goals this time through, a little bit more competitive on the ice, I suppose. And in general, I suppose I look forward to my travels. I look forward to seeing what the teams are doing new in terms of game ops and ticketing and perhaps unique sponsorships. And so as I travel around, I'm always looking to pick up new ideas to share throughout the league.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ryan, for taking time to join us today. I'm sure all of the listeners will be appreciative that they're able to hear from the commissioner in the flesh. We're excited for this season, and best of luck during opening weekend here.
Yep, and let's go Mets.
Thanks again to Ryan for joining us and taking time out of his busy schedule to be a part of our episode on this ECHL Ice Level podcast. Thanks to everyone out there for listening as well. Enjoy opening weekend. If you're going out to a game, have a great time. If you're not, you can always log on to flowhockey.tv to check out the action there. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, make sure you like, subscribe, and rate our podcast and follow us on social media at ECHL Hockey on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and at ECHL on X. Have a good day, everyone.